So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You know, that's it's a hopeful wish that we share with each other. It's very hopeful to say Happy New Year. And I am very hopeful on this first Sunday in 2019. I'm very hopeful even though we've experienced death four times in the past 10 days here at Trinity Lutheran Church. But this morning, I am hopeful. This morning we greet each other in hope. Happy New Year. May 2019 be a good year for you, for us, for our community, for our country, and for our world. So what will be in store for us in the year ahead? Well, let's start by narrowing the conversation just a little by stating what is not likely to happen this year. Pull out those New Year's resolutions. And there you have it. Those things are probably not going to happen. Now, please, prove me wrong. Lose those 20 pounds, exercise more, attend church every Sunday, and stay awake during the sermons. What will be in store for us in 2019? I'm guessing more of the same. But there may also be some surprises. God may move in new ways in our congregation or in our lives. What we do know is that 2019 offers us a clean slate. On this first Sunday in 2019, we will share Holy Communion. We will hear words that we long to hear every day of our life. You are loved by God. Your sins are forgiven. And you are not and never will be alone. God is truly present here, you see, in the bread and the wine, and God is always present in your life. See, in some sense, every Sunday is New Year's Day, for every Sunday offers us a new start, a new beginning, God calling us away from the past towards the future, a better future, God's future. And we are not alone. We share this place with a diverse group of people who are just like us, a parade of sinners, the broken and afraid, the young and the old will approach this altar, not alone. No one walks here alone, and no one is ever turned away from this altar. The path we walk is beaten down, damp with the tears of a thousand generations. We raise our hands to receive bread and wine. We open our ears to hear words of grace. Yes, we are in this together in 2019 and beyond. A clean slate, a new beginning. Happy New Year. 2019, it's just a baby right now. And when a baby is born, hope springs eternal. The palette is clean. No colors have touched the canvas. And the journey ahead seems to stretch out forever. The possibilities for the child, especially one born in this land of opportunity, are almost limitless. And if that child is fortunate enough to escape childhood diseases or accidents, they will grow up, and when they do, they'll be just like us. They will experience many of the same joys and sorrows that we have experienced. You see, there is no escaping our place in creation. There is no escaping our humanity or our mortality. And yet, when we hold a newborn, we are filled with hope and wonder and thankfulness. Well, 2019 is a newborn today. 359 days stretching out before us. Hope springs eternal, or at least it should. Unless we are too cynical or too beaten up or have lost the faith that God can and will do wonderful things in partnership with us. Now, of course, like every year that preceded it, 2019 will not be unscarred by the human condition. The journey will be dangerous and unpredictable, and yet I am filled with hope and thankfulness this day. Happy New Year and Happy Epiphany. Now, we are now just 2 weeks away, removed from Christmas, but the theme of Christmas continues this morning with the visit of the three kings, the Magi, the wise men. The theme is apparent, if we can just open our eyes and see. But we've been programmed by a lifetime of images, illustrations, and might I say, romantic illusions. Christmas brings to mind Christmas cards and familiar artwork. And Mary is presented as a modestly dressed young woman off the streets of some northern European city, a nice-looking white girl. The real mother of our Lord would bear little resemblance to the woman whose image adorns thousands of Roman Catholic cathedrals. And her husband, the carpenter Joseph, it's much the same. He was not a working-class white guy from Pennsylvania. He was a peasant. Joseph looked a lot more like Menachem Begin than he did like Matt Damon. Now, these are just two of the characters from the story we remember this time of year. God is working in the lives of people. We see that clearly in the Christmas story. But God is working in the most unexpected ways. God is surprising the humans. God does not come as an avenging military leader supported by an awesome war machine. God does not come in power at all. God comes in the most vulnerable form of human life, an infant, a helpless newborn whose chance of survival without help is zero. An infant born in a cave, placed in a feed trough, born in some obscure village. The only notoriety for the baby was that it was born on a holiday. That's a joke. I'll explain it to you at the coffee hour. God was working. God was working in the lives of people, but God was working in the most surprising ways. You know, there's no Hollywood producer who would have touched this story. There's no screenwriter who could have written this story. A carpenter and a peasant girl having a baby surrounded by common barn animals, and the child would what? Change the world? Save the world? Become the religion of the Roman Empire? It was ridiculous. And then bring in the shepherds. Shepherds were the lowest class of people, poor and uneducated. Their lives were consumed with caring for sheep. Now, there may be dumber animals than sheep, but I doubt it. The shepherds watching their flocks by night are the first to hear the good news. Angels appear. The shepherds are afraid. A baby is born in Bethlehem. Was he born in a barn? Yes, as a matter of fact, he was. Now, who could have predicted this? The shepherds go to Bethlehem, and they were amazed. Amazed at the birth of a baby? No, babies are born every day. They themselves had acted as midwives, helping the sheep to bring new lambs into the world. The shepherds were amazed, not with Mary and Joseph, not with a newborn who did little but nurse and snooze and poop. That's what they do. The shepherds were amazed that God had brought them into the story, that God had chosen them. After all, there was not a religious person who had given them the time of day. You see, God was working, but God was working in a mysterious fashion. God was up to something new. The star in Bethlehem was shining. Mother Mary and the baby Jesus were asleep now in the hay. Joseph walked out of the cave. What would the future be for him? It was only a couple days now until a new year. What would this new year hold for him and his small but growing family? What was God up to? Joseph must have wondered. What was God up to and why? And then Joseph looked east, far in the distance, unbeknownst to him. A caravan was working its way across the Saudi Arabian desert. I would invite you to sing We Three Kings. You may remain seated. I feel totally out of place here. No one here looks like me. But then we came from far away. We are kings in our own land, but when we decided to make this journey, most at home thought us to be fools, clowns. Why would you leave home and travel through the dangerous desert at night following a star? Why would you leave the comforts of home? Why? Because we felt like God was calling us. The star that appeared demanded our attention. We were kings, yes, but we were astrologers too. You see, the movement of heavenly bodies inspired wonder and awe in us. The movement of the stars and planets spoke to us. We did not know where we were going, but we trusted God to show us. And we ended up in Palestine. Palestine of all places. We were foreigners among the Jewish people. We trusted God, but our God and their God was not the same God. Or so we thought. We had our own religion. They had theirs. Our religious practices were not the same as theirs. We approached Jerusalem, and there, on the highest point of the city, was the most magnificent sight that I had ever laid eyes on. It was a temple, a place of worship and sacrifice. It was awe-inspiring. Certainly, we would find the baby there. But no, we did not find the baby, and we found no welcome there either. As Arabs, we were told that we were strictly forbidden from entering any Jewish holy sites. The God of the Jews, we were told, would have nothing to do with unclean foreigners like us. We assured them that we meant no harm or disrespect. We told them that God had spoken to us, and they were offended. They said, "You speak heresy. There's only one God, and that God, the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, speaks to the prophets and scripture. That God has chosen the children of Israel. You see, like us, God does not speak to foreigners like you," they said. But God had spoken to us, and we were not going to go home without presenting our gifts to the Son of God. And so we approached King Herod. Certainly the master builder of Jerusalem would recognize kings from a far-off land. What he did recognize was money. We offered him riches to receive an audience, and an audience we did receive. Now, King Herod was a curious man. No doubt he was a genius, but a troubled one at that. He was powerful. He had guards at every door. He had the power of the Roman Empire behind him. But he was clearly paranoid. We told him that we had traveled far, that a star beckoned us to come. We had come to see the child who had been born to be the king of the Jews. Herod was agitated. Clearly, he was distressed by our news. So he ordered a feast for us. Fine wines and food were prepared. And as we ate our full, Herod, with the chief priests and the scribes, gathered. He wanted to know where the Messiah of Israel was to be born. And the scribes and the chief priests told him, according to the prophecies, the baby would be born in Bethlehem, in Judea. Herod called us back in, and he pointed us in the direction of Bethlehem, saying, "Go. Go there and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, return to me. I would like to know where he is, that I, the king, might also go and bring him a gift." We set out for Bethlehem that night. The star in the sky was still leading us. And when we arrived at this dusty little city, we could not help but wonder, why? Why would this child, this king, be born in such an obscure village? We inquired with those of the town of a baby that had been born, and soon we found ourselves standing outside of a stable. Now, why would a king be born in a place like this? And we did not presume to enter the resting place of the mother and child. You see, the Jews were not allowed to have Gentiles in their homes. So we announced our intention. We had come only to offer gifts to the child born the king of the Jews. From inside, we heard a voice, a woman's voice. She invited us to enter. We found a young woman named Mary. She was holding a baby boy. An older man stood nearby, clutching his walking stick, ready to protect his family if danger presented itself. But we had come in peace. We fell down to our knees. We bowed in humility, worshiping the child and giving thanks to God that God had revealed this good news to us. We called now to our servants, bring the gifts to the king. We offered Mary our simple offerings, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. She was thankful, she was polite, but I don't think that she knew what to make of this visit. It all seemed so outlandish, and yet we did not doubt for a minute that we had come to the correct location. We did not doubt for a minute that we were now kneeling at the feet of God's Son. Outlandish, it made no sense that we would share this night under the stars with Jews. After all, we worshiped a different God than they did, didn't we? It was outlandish. The Jews would never have included us in their religious celebrations. They wanted nothing to do with us, and to be honest, we wanted nothing to do with them either. Oh, we would do business with them, but we would not want our daughters marrying one of them. We would not allow them to take part in our religious life any more than they would allow us to take part in theirs. You see, we were different. I'd always been told that. We were different. We had different cultures, languages, and dress. We were different. We'd always been told that we were different, that those of other tribes were to be feared and shunned and stayed away from. Stay away from those Jews. They're different. But as we watched the baby nurse, as we watched young Mary caring for her child, we knew that she was really no different from our own daughters. As we warmed ourselves by the fire, Joseph let down his guard a little bit, realizing that we were not a threat to his family. And as we talked, I could not help but wonder, perhaps what we were taught was not true. Perhaps we were more alike than different. Perhaps the God we worshiped was the same God as the Jews worshiped, the only God. Perhaps God so loved the world that he sent his baby even to us as Arabs. God so loved the world. The Jews understood that term, the world, to mean everyone outside of Judaism, the tribes, the Gentiles, the races and cultures out there like us. Could it be that God, the God of the Jews, was the same God that inspired every tribe and every race of the world? We had presented our gifts. We had bowed in homage. Our mission was accomplished now. We would now begin the journey back home, but we would not return to King Herod, no. The star was behind us now as we headed back east. The star was behind us, but the rest of our lives were right there before us. It was like the first day of a new year. The calendars would start anew. Somehow, nothing had changed, and somehow, everything had changed. Why? How? We looked up to the heavens. We looked to the skies. And we could not help but wonder.
I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.